Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus said to his disciples, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Well, if you didn't get enough of parables with the wheat and the weeds last Sunday, this morning our gospel passage presents us with how many? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, that's one. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, that's two. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, that's three. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, that's four. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea. That's five parables. No, wait. Every scribe who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. That's six. Don't you love the disciples in this passage? Jesus goes on and on, like the kingdom of heaven is like this, and also like this, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like this, and like this, but also it is like this, and then he says, have you understood all this? And the disciples say, yes. It's like they're just trying to get him to stop talking. It's like either they're overwhelmed and have no idea what is going on, but they are desperate to seem like they do. Or they just want a break for lunch. Come on, that's a little funny, right? There's a great song by Lyle Lovett, the weird-looking country singer from Texas, also a Lutheran, I might add. Lyle Lovett wrote a song called Church, and in that song it tells the story of a preacher standing up on Sunday morning preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching, and sooner or then later, everyone starts to get a little restless in the pews, wondering when this preacher's going to wrap it up. They want to get home and have lunch. They know mom's been making some good food for Sunday lunch, and they want to get home. They're eager. And so the narrator of the song sneaks up into the balcony and gathers the choir around and says, okay, when I give you the signal, I want you to sing this. And he sings, to the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner, now let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Listen to what the preacher said. He said, to the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner, now let's go eat. The choir stands up and they all sing it together. To the Lord let praises be. And then, all of a sudden, a dove appears up in the window. You have to imagine there's a window there. A dove appears up in the window. And a fork appears in the preacher's hand. And the dove swoops down and the preacher eats the dove right there before the entire congregation. I know it's weird. But the moral of the story, the narrator assures us, is that if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. The disciples say, yes, we got it, Jesus. We're good. We got it. We understood. We totally understand. Whew. The mustard seed, right? The yeast hidden in the flour, the treasure hidden in the field, the pearl merchant, the fishing net thrown into the sea. And then that last one about the master of the household and his treasure. What are we supposed to make of these, all of these? How are we supposed to understand what Jesus is telling us? Well, let's work our way through it, shall we? I'm going to come down there again. So, to begin with, the mustard seed. Jesus says to the crowd, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs. That's pretty funny. The greatest of shrubs. And becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. A lot can be made about this mustard seed. We wonder about the little mustard seed. They're not the tiniest of seeds, and certainly they don't grow into anything majestic. I think maybe it's Eugene Peterson in The Message where he describes it as an acorn growing into an oak, right? That's the kind of equation we're looking at. It doesn't matter the particularness of the seed. What matters is that it's small and it becomes something big. But that's not all. What does that big plant do? Anybody know? It provides shelter. That's right. So that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The kingdom of God is something small that becomes something big that provides a spot for a nest to be built and baby birds to be born. Then we have the yeast, right? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. A better translation, other than mixing it in, took and mixed it in, would be she hid it. She hid the yeast in with the flour. Now, she probably doesn't have her own nice little oven in her kitchen, right? She's preparing it in a big oven with others around. So she puts in this bread in a culture of unleavened bread, and before you know it, holy cats, a whole lot of bread, a big bread. What does yeast do? It makes more bread. And what can you do with more bread? Well, we talked about that last week, about the weed and the wheat, didn't we? You can feed more people. Yeast plus flour equals more bread equals more fed. Then there's the buried treasure, right? And the pearl merchant. It's interesting, these characters that Jesus has chosen to ascribe these parables to. You have someone who knows what it is to work in the field. You have someone who knows what it is to toil in the kitchen. You have someone who knows what it is to be about business and commerce. You know people who fish, right? Jesus is throwing a lot of stories at this crowd, at these disciples, hoping something will stick. But that buried treasure, what about that buried treasure, right? The kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in a field. which a man found and reburied, then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You kind of wonder why he didn't just take he found the treasure. You just pick it up and take it. But no, he buries it in that field, gets rid of everything so that he can buy that field. Same with this pearl merchant. Doesn't sound like a very good pearl merchant to me. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it, the one pearl. Seems to me most merchants, you know, acquire a warehouse full of goods to sell, right? But this pearl merchant, no, he's going to scrap it all just for the one pearl. This treasure that is found is something that is worth everything. Worth losing everything for the sake of finding that one pearl, that one buried treasure. And then we've got that fishing net, right?
Oof.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yikes. We went through some of this last week with the wheat and the weed. Right? That parable. This story of separation. Now, we'll get to separation in a couple of months when we get to Matthew's apocalyptic texts, right? Those teachings of Jesus. But let's look at this a little bit, right? It sounds a little bit like those weed and the weeds, the wheat and the weeds. We got the good on the one hand and the bad on the other. But where are all of these good and bad things coming from? The same place, right? A dragnet, when you are fishing, has a way of catching everything it possibly can. And then they have to sort, sure, but what does it mean for the good to be put into baskets and the bad to be thrown out? It means like this half of the room over here, you guys are the baskets and you guys are thrown out, or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you guys are the baskets and you are the thrown out. Or could it mean that within all of us, within that vast sea, there is good and bad? And in the sorting, that bad is removed while the good is taken aside. But what is good in this equation? We can think about what is bad. Maybe it's trash. Maybe it's some invasive species, like what is it, milfoil or whatever, right? Some of that stuff, right? But what's the good? Come on. Somebody tell me, what's the good caught in that net? I can hear you whispering it. Fish! Right? Fish. They're out there fishing. The good is the fish. Well, wait a minute. Who's ready to sign up to be a caught fish? What happens to caught fish? They get eaten, right? Caught fish go out to market and then onto somebody's plate and they get eaten for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. Whew, I don't know. Does that sound good? Well, is it that different than being the wheat? To be caught fish is to be food for someone to eat. We talk sometimes in our liturgy about what it means to be bread for the world, right? Well, here we have this fish. Here we are, hopefully, some good fish being fed to those who are hungry. Jesus uses these parables for good purpose and to great effect. Maybe their meanings are lost on us, or maybe their meanings take on a different hue depending on when, where, and how we hear them. But one thing remains clear, though, from Jesus' day until now. The kingdom of God, the empire of God, is very, very different from the powers and principalities we establish. This is not the great oppressive force of Caesar's Rome lording over the Jewish people in Israel. This is not a system like ours chained to commerce and capital where you're only worth as much as you can earn or spend. The kingdom of God runs contrary to our every instinct when it comes to what power and wealth and position and privilege look, taste, smell, and feel like. The kingdom of God is a tiny seed that grows into a plant that provides space and shade and safety for new life to hatch into the world and take wing. The kingdom of God is a leavening agent snuck into the mix by a bold woman so that everyone can be surprised by more and even more bread to eat. The kingdom of God is a treasure so fine, a pearl so fair, that it is worth giving up everything we have just to hold it. The kingdom of God is so powerful, so wonderful, that it takes the bad and broken out and leaves all the good so that there might be good for all. I don't know. That sounds about right to me. At the very least, anyway, these parables that Jesus uses to teach us about the nature of God, these old, old stories, they get us thinking, don't they? They open our hearts and our minds to new possibilities, new ideas, new ways of knowing and loving God and the neighbor. That ain't so bad for a Sunday before lunch, huh? Amen.